Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. At long last, it is Friday, and not only the last day of the work week, it is the last day of July the 31st. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. Nice to speak to you guys.
Nice to have you with us. Also with me today, I have Brian Morning Show Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I was going to go, hey, ho, but now I have to go, hey, ho. You're on KTMO. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we roll here.
It's that show today, kids. This is what Friday and Heatwave has, I think, done to all of us. So actually, Brian, I'd like to start with you. And we're going to talk a little bit about yesterday's earnings call.
Yeah, Apple pretty much crushed it. I'm quoting from myself there. A record June quarter in the midst of a pandemic. It's kind of crazy. Driven a lot by Mac and iPad sales. I think iPhone sales were better than expected, but were not the standout performance. Let me actually get that. I can't find the actual specific data on iPhones, but they were not blowout sales, but Mac and iPad were both really, really strong. I think Mac revenues rose from $5.8 billion year over year to $7.1 billion. And iPad revenues rose from $5 billion to $6.6 billion. So really strong increases. And analysts are attributing that to, in part, to a lot of stay-at-home stuff, a lot of stay-at-home work from home, and school, you know, distance learning issues with schools. So Apple apparently benefited from that. And Apple apparently benefited or was able to handle the transition from people not being able to go into its stores.
Yeah, that was the thing I noticed, I think.
Yeah, all of which is quite good. So all told, Apple turned in quarterly revenues of $59.7 billion. That was up 11% year over year. It's the debate. I really can't get over that. Full disclosure, I do own a tiny stake in Apple. Always like to make that clear. It's never affected the way I cover the company anyway whatsoever. Apple's earnings were, what's the actual total amount for earnings? $11.25 billion. Their earnings per share were up 18%. That was $2.58. And they beat expectations by 53 cents. So, you know, it was a big win from Wall Street standpoint. And then, of course, Apple announced a 4-for-1 stock split for shareholders of record as of August 24th. And they bumped the dividend up to 82 cents per share. That'll obviously be quartered after the stock split, but 82 cents per share, and that'll be paid out, I think, on the August 10th is when that'll be paid out.
Okay.
So all in all, it was a fantastic quarter for Apple. The company didn't offer any guidance for the September quarter, and I know Charlotte actually wrote this up for us. They said Luca Maestri specifically said that the iPhone was going to be delayed into the first fiscal quarter by quote unquote a few weeks. Is that right, Charlotte?
Yeah, that was the quote from the call. I found it interesting he addressed it directly. Obviously, my thought process was, and you can correct me if you think I'm misfiring here. I thought he was thinking, instead of there being, you know, 2-3 months of rumors, oh, the iPhone is delayed, and, you know, maybe that affecting share prices and investor confidence and all that kind of thing. They decided to get out in front of it and say, you understand the reasons why. It's going to be delayed a few weeks and then it will be here. It's quite a rare thing for an iPhone to be delayed and not be available in September. But obviously, these are exceptional times. And so it seemed to me it was a bit to get ahead of what was going on.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly,
we kind of known it was coming anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like, lots of people don't get a new iPhone till October anyway. So
it's but from a kind of analyst and investor's perspective,
sure,
you get to September and you're like, we normally get iPhones. Has something gone wrong with Apple? And then
there won't be any new Apple iPhone sales in the September quarter,
right?
Yeah,
which means there won't be new iPhone sales in the fiscal year,
right?
Right. So, exact for all of those reasons, it seems like getting ahead of it and making people make their adjustments and have that understanding.
Yeah. Getting the news out now. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I assume there's some kind of fiduciary responsibility to be, you know, disclose that kind of thing as well.
That is surely the case. And in addition to that, despite that relatively bad news, that was certainly the closest thing to bad news. And really it's more just news.
Like, I think
it's confirming, you know, what we expected.
Yeah. Well, there is a phone, which I think some people were still doubting. So there is going to be a new one. It's just not going to be in September.
And most analysts reacted by bumping their price targets up for Apple. I saw a bunch of price targets now in the 440 to 460 range, with a lot of them being at 450.
Wow.
Per share. Apple stock did take off Friday morning as this particular speaking, not writing, but it's this particular
in this moment
speaking. I'm actually trying to get a live quote. Why are those quotes doing that? That's crazy. 408 is where Apple is. It's up $24 a share, 6.26%. And that was after a $5 a share increase yesterday before the earnings call. Yeah. And I think, let's see here, it was, who's this, MarketWatch? No, Dow Jones reported that the average current price target for Apple is $397 or $396, which is actually below where it is, so LOL. And 28 of the 38 analysts that they're tracking are holding Apple as a buy. 8 of them are at a hold, and 4 are at a sell. I'm thinking you probably I don't know. I'm not going to give any stock advice. But 4 are LOL sells.
Yes.
And it's in a day where, you know, market volatility, my understanding is that Apple is actually doing a pretty good job of holding up the rest of the market at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And
as in today.
Yeah. And part of that, like we mentioned briefly, Brian, that Apple's doing a 4-to-1 stock split.
Yeah.
And that's
would you like to know more about that?
I would. That's happening at the end of the month, at the end of August, correct?
Yeah. The split adjusted shares will be trading as of August 31st. If you're owning stock before the 24th, I mean, really, it doesn't matter. If you have stock, it'll end up being split. Yeah. But this doesn't. It sort of changes everything and changes nothing at the same time. Yes. And a lot of people, and so Apple has had five, I actually cataloged them in an article yesterday, four previous stock splits, a 7-to-1 mm-hmm. stock split in 2014, and then 3 different 2-to-1 stock splits in 2005, 2000, and 1987. And if all the stock split does is lower the price per share that a stock is being sold at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies hold their nose at, I have a phone call, I apologize. So a lot of companies actually hold their nose at the idea of a stock split. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is the most famous example of that. Their stock trades at $297,000 per share.
Yes.
And, you know, so,
and they're fine with that.
Can't actually buy them.
Yeah.
And, Tesla is at $1,400 and change. You know, Elon Musk doesn't apparently like the stock splits either, but Apple has done them as very specifically to keep their shares more in the reach of more retail investors. And a retail investor is basically us normal folk.
Yes.
Folks who are not brokers and folks who are not institutional investors. So if Apple stock were to do this 4-to-1 split today, each share would be worth basically $102. Mm-hmm. But the total value of the company won't change.
Right.
And, you know, the dividend will be also split. Yeah, each share will pay out 25% of what it's paying out now, meaning that each share will be paying out just a fraction over 20 cents per share. And the theory is that when more retail investors do see a stock as being within reach, that would be theoretically be more potential money flowing into the company. But in reality, the vast majority of shares are owned by institutional investors. Institutional investors include everything from, pension funds, hedge funds, money market funds, and, you know, a lot of funds, a lot of different really, really big buyers buying enormous quantities of shares. But, you know, there is a psychological barrier for retail investors when the idea is you can buy a single share of, you know, or maybe two shares of stock for $1,000 as opposed to, you know, 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And Apple has always taken that route. There you have it.
All right.
And if you have shares, you don't need to do anything. Your brokerage will take care of it for
you. Work it all out for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting because this news again came out of the earnings call at the end of like peak pandemic, I guess, because the quarter was April, May, and June of this year, which is when things were sort of in full force. You did get some folks, locking down and things in March, but April, May, June is when a lot of things, like on a much grander scale, at least in the United States, started locking down and quarantining and being closed and all of that. So it was, it was like you said, interesting to see those numbers, especially compared to the same quarter last year when none of this stuff was happening. So it was interesting. And I did hear a couple of mentions of like this even includes places where we opened Apple stores and had to close them again, which... for various reasons. Yeah. Ours here is still shut. I think once the big one downtown that I wrote about over on TMO, when they put the mural up in front of it, it still looks like that. They have not made any efforts to reopen that particular location. And I personally am glad for it because I would rather... wait until this is under much more control than it is right now. So I'm not sad that I'm sad that they're not open, but I'm hopeful for the long term that this is just going to be better for everybody. So I hope that doesn't really change anything. So it was interesting to see it noted and to hear how much of the conversation was kind of around that kind of stuff and talking about like, here's other stuff that we have done that, because we feel that we are contributing to the betterment of the planet, you know, more than we're contributing to the betterment of our shareholders. And it was kind of nice to hear that. So I did enjoy getting a little bit of that out of it. Now, one thing that was not that I did hear yesterday, which ties into our next small subject, is that they did talk a little bit about the Apple Card and how financing things on the Apple Card was seemed to be a thing that people liked to do. And when you team up,
they haven't had to make some of those payments for
right,
even fairly significant payment holidays for the last 3-4 months now,
something like that. Yeah. And when you team that up with maybe trading in an old device or old devices that you've got sitting around, that makes a lot of stuff a lot more affordable. And Apple did spend, they spent a little bit of time discussing that during the call, and then also got a couple of questions about it at the end in the sort of general comments. Another thing that's going to make that stuff easier is the new gift cards that Apple released today.
Yeah, it looks like there's a new kind of buy everything gift card that is now available, because obviously you've had iTunes vouchers and App Store cards, and ones you can also buy devices in the store with,
mm-hmm.
Like Apple Store vouchers. And now there seems to be one where you can buy everything with that. So that's hardware products, software products, sign up to the various services, things like mm-hmm. Arcade, News Plus. You can buy TV shows in iTunes. It's basically, and even things like iCloud storage.
Yeah.
So it's literally a do everything, buy everything Apple card, which is kind of interesting. It's such an obviously good idea. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
But here's a question though. Right, you cannot get discounted Apple gift cards. You can get sometimes discounted iTunes cards.
That's true.
There is almost no chance these cards will be discounted because Apple doesn't want to sell its hardware at a discount.
Sure.
So my question is going to be, will this make iTunes cards go away? And I don't think we have that answer yet, do we?
We don't have that answer yet. I just think, again, thinking aloud, you can sort of see a scenario in which Apple just says, this is the Apple gift card.
Right.
And you can, and this is the only Apple gift card. And you can buy anything that's right. Apple with it. I can envisage that scenario. There's no indication of that happening anytime soon. From what I can tell, these gift cards are only available in the US. When I looked at the US site, and there's a dedicated homepage. But if you look, when I looked at the UK version, it was just the normal iTunes and App Store and Apple Store gift cards.
Okay.
So it seems to me it's a US thing only, but I imagine we will start getting them in other markets and other countries. And yeah, I think Brian's probably hinting at what is to come. I think he's probably going to be proved right on that.
Yeah,
I wonder. I wonder. I try to never buy anything from the iTunes store, like an app or an in-app purchase, sure. unless I get. I want at least I want at least my 3% from an Apple card off.
Yes.
Right. At least, and preferably it used to be that, you could get 10, 15, 20, and even sometimes 25% discounts on these cards. And yeah. like everything I bought was discounted. And those have really dried up during the pandemic. They were already drying up before the pandemic. But with everybody staying at home and buying apps and getting entertainment, mm-hmm. Retailers seem not to be all that overly incentivized to discount these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hope they don't go away because I like my discounts.
Yeah, same. I do too. I'm curious, like you, Brian, I'm curious how this is going to evolve, if at all, or if it's just going to be universal gift cards or iTunes gift cards. Like, if the universal one will just replace the Apple Store one, and then people can use them for whatever. So, and the reason I wonder that is because I've been given both gift cards, and at least on some of them, it wasn't clear what kind of gift card it was. Like, there was an Apple logo on the front. So can I use this in the App Store or not? You know, and like the only way to tell is to go try entering the code into your account on the App Store and have it go no. And that was kind of frustrating. And I imagine it's probably frustrating to Apple, too, for people to be like, I have this gift card and it doesn't work. Well, that's because it's for the store. Well, what am I going to do with one for the store? So I hope that maybe that's
buy me an Apple Watch. That's what you're going to do with it.
I didn't realize it was in the market. We may have another show planned just from that comment. I hope it just replaces the Apple Store ones, and it's no more complicated than that, because like Brian, I do like the discount on the others, so it would be nice if those could stay. We're gonna leave you with that for the to head into the weekend, and I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, as always, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy weekend.
Glad you're here. And also with me, I'm Brian Chaffin. Thank you so much for swinging by to talk to us about stock stuff.
Indeed, Kelly.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.